From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk from May 24th, 2019. Checking the calendar, this Sunday, Cedarburg kicks off another season of Maxwell Street Days. And for all the sailors listening, the Dennis Sullivan and the 1840 Brewing Company have a two-hour brew cruise also on Sunday. And speaking of the brew crew, no groans for that. Okay. They host the Phillies for the weekend, and the Bucks are in Toronto for Game 6 Saturday night. Okay, the Indian Navy recently had a giant problem. One of their nuclear subs was submerging when the crew realized they didn't close all the hatches. Oops. One of the areas that flooded was the all-important propulsion compartment. That would be the engine of a nuclear sub. The repairs will run close to $3 billion on a $5 billion boat. And I'll bet their insurance rates go up. And here's a reason why we should spend more money on education. 56% of Americans think we shouldn't teach Arabic numerals in school. We can probably guess why. So what are these Arabic numerals? 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And putting that into context, if you don't know your numbers, you can't play the lottery or bingo. In the studio, we have Kyle Tedding, Mark Amateus, Tom Pappenfuss, Joel Dreesang. And wrapping up the week, here's Bob Landis.
Thanks, Max. Pretty ugly week. NASDAQ shed 2.3%. this week, losing 180 points to close at 76.37. Pretty decent year-to-date numbers, up 15.6 year-to-date. The broader markets, the S&P 500 lost 1.2%, shedding 33 points to close at 28.26 from a technical level, still just a tad above the 50-day moving average. Dow Jones Industrial Average shed 0.7%, losing 178 points this week. We closed at the bell this afternoon in New York with the Dow finishing the week at 25,586. Dow's up 10.8 year-to-date. S&P up 13.7 year-to-date. Treasury yields keep going down. 10-year benchmark Treasury yielding now just 2.32%, give or take, the lowest yield for the year. You know, Mark, we got off to a really ugly start this week. The markets got creamed. You know, what's your take on it?
Yeah, Bob, I really do think that the China issue with the so-called trade wars tariff is taking its toll on the mind of investors. And I think one of the problems is, you know, you have two different cultures at work. And when that happens, I think it just kind of opens up the potential for misunderstandings and miscommunications. China plays the long game. They're going to do what's in the best interest of their country that they believe for the long haul. U.S. maybe not so much. You know, I think there's still a lot of hope that they can come to agreement. But no question, if all the tariffs are implemented, it's going to take a toll on corporate margins, because unless they can, you know, pass those costs on to consumers or their business partners, you know, it's going to hit their margins. So I think I'm still optimistic that cooler heads will prevail and they'll get something done, but that's probably my biggest worry right now.
A while back, President Trump said that it's easy to win trade wars. That doesn't look to be at all accurate at this point.
For sure. No, absolutely. You know, that doesn't do anybody any good. No question.
Kyle, when you look at earnings, it's encouraging to see that earnings are going to rebound later in the year, up 7-8%. You and I are always remarking about how accurate the stock market is in telling the future. You know, we saw that last fall with the stock market going down quite a bit, correctly anticipating the earnings recession that we saw in the first quarter of this year. And now the market's, I think, correctly forecasting that earnings are going to be bouncing back pretty nicely later this fall.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. You know, you look at year-to-date gains in the stock market, despite a five-week stretch for the Dow that has seen, you know, week-to-week declines. And, you know, I think the market so far this year as a leading indicator is pointing to exactly what you talk about, that the expectation for corporate earnings is that we get back to a growth environment. We move past a couple of quarters of stagnation in earnings growth here in the first, second, maybe third quarter as well. And then you look to the end of the year and into especially 2020 and, you know, back to a pretty typical growth rate for earnings. And, you know, you look long term at the direction of stocks relative to the direction of earnings, and it tells you everything you need to know about what kind of potential there is for the stock market to grow. We're talking about valuations right now that are relatively fair, you know, maybe had been a bit overpriced, but it's come back down a little bit in the past couple of weeks. And so, you know, if you expect earnings growth in the 7 to 8% range and you don't see valuations become too stretched here in the next year or two, you know, I think that tells you a little bit about the direction that stocks might head as well.
Let's spend a few minutes talking about the trade wars relative to the issue of a slowing global economy. You know, I remarked a couple of weeks ago on a podcast that a number of the areas in China that are slowing have nothing to do with trade. So it's wrong to suggest that if we ever do resolve the trade conflicts, in spite of what the president has said, that it's easy to win them. If we ever do prevail, it's not necessarily going to affect some of the areas in China that are slowing. So the point is, we've got this backdrop of a trade war. An economist can tell you flat out that it may only carve a quarter to a third of a percent off of GDP. We just don't sell them enough. You know, Mark, you made the comment about the tariffs. I mean, part of what you kind of left out is most of it gets passed on to the consumer. But it comes at a time when inflation is not all that high anyway. So the point is, it's not the trade wars that I think people need to be focusing on. It's more the slowdown in global growth, and that a lot of that doesn't get resolved if the trade wars get resolved, which my guess, they're getting further apart by the hour. You know, the fact that we're trying to shut down Huawei, they can't use their phones now in England, in the continent. That's only going to get worse. China's now threatening us with we're not going to get access to their raw rare metals that we need for the phones. And, you know, that doesn't get resolved anytime soon. But the point is, keep your eye on the prize. If you look at global growth, it's deaccelerating. They think at best it's going to be about 3% global growth this year, and that's down from 3.8 a year ago. So it's quite a bit of a slowdown. But the important point to make is that, you know, the wheels aren't falling off the cart. So what we saw this week, I think, was, you know, kind of an overreaction to the trade disputes. And it's theater, almost, that you get these headline news of, you know, this company is complaining, this company is complaining. I talked to an agricultural agent this afternoon, now retired, but, you know, he's talking about what's going on with farmers now, the fact that soybean prices have plunged and we're losing those markets, and the Chinese might get used to buying soybeans from the Brazilians. And, you know, we may not even get those markets back. We only grow basically three crops in the United States, soybeans, corn, and wheat, and we're coming close to losing the soybean market. So there are some significant disruptions. I don't want to suggest that the tariffs and the trade wars are inconsequential, but big picture, they kind of are. So it behooves us to focus on the big picture relative to the global economy. You see, you know, slowing global growth. You've got Germany basically in recession. You've got Italy basically in recession. Japan just came out of one that could go back into one. So you get the trend line is slowing, but that doesn't mean the end of the road. It doesn't mean a recession. It doesn't mean that stock prices will collapse, because it is all about earnings. And earnings look pretty good, and interest rates are going down now. It ultimately favors stocks.
You know, Bob, I think so often we reach for the closest narrative or reach for the easiest thing to try to explain what it is that's driving the markets today or this week. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right that there's a bigger picture here that maybe many investors are missing. And you look at, you know, Japan this week coming out and saying that they expect industrial production to continue to slow down a little bit, despite the fact that they're doing better right now economically than they have in a long time. You look at Europe, and we got data this week out of Europe that shows that Europe continues to slow down a little bit. And so, you know, I think the global growth picture is really the piece that's going to be key. And Never more evident than something like copper prices, where earlier in the year we were talking about copper prices up 13% year to date, and all of a sudden, you know, in the span of a couple of weeks, you've got copper prices coming back down to where they were at the start of the year.
Look at petroleum down 6% this week.
And such an important piece of global economic growth is something like copper, that when you see prices move like that, or oil, as you mentioned, when you see prices move like that, it tells you everything you need to know about what the big picture looks like as you look ahead, maybe a couple of months, but certainly as you look ahead, you know, a couple of quarters.
Tom, look, bring you into the podcast. What do you think about things these days?
Well, I think I've been having a lot of conversations with clients kind of with what where they should have their expectations right now. Looking at their portfolios and looking at the markets, everything's about context. And you can look at people, you know, Bob, you've mentioned before kind of psychology, and a term uses referred to as anchoring, where people kind of have a mindset of looking at their high watermark of their portfolio. And really their portfolios and the markets have kind of traded sideways for about the last year plus or so. So people are kind of look at that their last high watermark and would say, hey, well, I'm only up 1 or 2%. But I think, you know, because of the sell-off, the significant sell-off we had at the end of last year, it's kind of a new ball game. We have to prepare and look at the beginning of this year with, you know, new interest rate policy, what are earnings expectations, where is economic growth at? And kind of you have to look, be pretty positive with where we've begun this year and where we are at today, and be mindful of, you know, that we could trade at this level for a while and not get too aggressive and try to get yourself back up to that high watermark again.
Tom, that's an excellent point you made about anchoring, particularly right now. I mean, stocks are down in the United States about 4% for the month of May. Yet stocks year to date, you know, up 10, 11, 12% or more. So yeah, I get it. You're down 4 for May, but when you look at year-to-date numbers, they're fabulous. Look at your last 3-year numbers, they're fabulous. Look at your last 5-year numbers, they're fabulous. So it's important not to anchor, not to look at high water marks, not to look at, even what it was worth a month ago, because, you know, the money's got to last you the rest of your life, and it's not, you aren't going to need it all tomorrow or the next day. So it's important not to anchor, not to just fixate on, yeah, but my account was a little bit higher a month ago. Yeah, whatever. in the overall scheme of things, if you're properly balanced, it's going to matter. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Joel, time to bring you into the show. You had a handful of economic numbers this week.
Yeah, Bob, I'm just sort of talking again about the slowdown in global growth. One of the things that we see in our economy that represents that is manufacturing. We had numbers a couple of weeks ago from the Federal Reserve Board about industrial production, and that's been going down lately. And we had numbers from the Institute for Supply Management showing the same thing. And today we had numbers on durable goods orders. As you said, I mean, the wheels aren't coming off the cart, but we're seeing things slow down a little bit. We've had 2 out of the last 3 months, we've had a drop in durable goods orders. If you strip out sort of the volatile aspect of that, which the biggest thing is commercial airline products, it's sort of been trading sideways, and year to date it's up like 1.9%, which is still going up, but it's sort of weak.
You know, Joel, I wonder how many of those numbers are skewed by the fact that we had a pretty significant increase in inventories in the first quarter of the year. So, folks, what I'm talking about is if you have a pen company, you make pens, the fact that you made a lot of pens in the first quarter, that's good for GDP. But what if you didn't sell a lot of pens and you kept them on your shelf? At some point in time, you're going to go to your production manager and say, okay, already with making these pens, stop now. We're going to sell what we've got on the shelves. So that may be what we're seeing here late in the springtime, Joel, of manufacturers. They built their inventories up quite a bit in the first quarter. Now they're slowing down some of the production to sell off the shelves. That only lasts so long, and then you got to re-up your production levels.
Right, so reality is catching up with their optimism a little bit.
Could be part of that, but just a guess. The markets didn't like at all the existing home sales numbers, let alone the new home sale numbers. They continued to go down. Got told by a realtor the other day that anything in the Milwaukee area under $300,000 is selling in a couple hours. but you get much above that, and it's just not going anywhere. So it gives you a sense of affordability, number one. Number two, and how just more and more people are getting priced out of the higher end of the real estate market. Of course, it's very local. Homes cost a little bit more money here in the Milwaukee area than it does in rural America. But I think that's, you know, impacting the markets as well.
Right. One of those reports that came out this week was from the National Association of Realtors, and they showed that if you compare prices nationally for the median price to a year ago, that's gone up for 86 months straight. So, yeah, after a while, that takes a toll, and people who are interested in buying a house kind of take that into consideration and say, maybe it's not worth it.
You know, folks, we're 5 months through the year now, and you take a look at the numbers, they look pretty good to me. Like Tom says, don't anchor. Don't look at your account relative to the highest it's ever been, and then look at the current values. Don't anchor it against what it was worth a month ago. You know, year to date, you're having a good run. Most people have more than made up what they lost last year, plus a significant amount for this year. So portfolios look pretty good that way. And truly, it is about interest rates and earnings, and interest rates are coming down now, and earnings are on their way back up, and that basically is the underpinnings of a pretty good market. Well, folks, that's the end of yet another Money Talk. Enjoy your holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.